It's not easy once you've been here for 3 years to live in America, but Victor not only went back, but I remember one time when I had an opportunity to talk with him. He said, "You know, Brother Parsley, we're going to stop Sunday night services." And I thought, that sounds an awful lot like the United States, you know. No, he said, "We're going to stop Sunday night services and we're going to divide in two or three different groups. And we're going to send people out into the villages." And he said, if we do that, he said, we can triple the number of churches that we have within a matter of months. You can say amen to that, folks. I mean, that's the kind of man that we have coming. Let me just tell you, just to give you a few more insights into this man. I know many of you know him. But years ago, when that wall came down and liberty came to the former Soviet Union, I still love to say the former Soviet Union, but we had a lot of small, different Pentecostal works. We had the registered church, and then we had the unregistered church, and Victor was used mightily to bring all of this group together because really, it is important that we can work together. And after a long discussion, Don was reminding of this. I remember Bob Mackey's telling us about this as well. But the one hang-up was that, the larger church probably was the unregistered church. That was more conservative, very, very conservative, all right? And one of the reasons of not coming together was that they probably felt that the registered church would become, the leader. And of course, that was part of the fellowship that Victor had. Victor turned and said, "No," he said, "I'll be glad to work with you. You can be the leader." And as a result, for the last 21 years, my friend, the work of God has grown, has multiplied. And I just learned tonight, I thought I knew everything, but I just learned tonight that Peter has kind of retired and that Victor is now the bishop of the Pentecostal church in Moldova. It's growing and we thank God for it. Would you welcome our brother, Victor Pavlovsky? Amen. Victor, I forgot to tell you, you're also the president of ETS, Evangel Theological Seminary. When we were looking to find, I mean, this is among all of the leadership of all of the countries of the former Soviet Union, to find the right national to step in there, one that could work with everyone, you know, one who was not worried about title. But we settled, and my friend, you have blessed us so much at ETS. And David Nelson can say amen to that. He knows that. He can raise his hand. Amen. Thank God. Victor, you're among Thank friends you. Tonight. You're actually among family. Welcome yes. home. God Thank bless you. You.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jerry. It's good to be back. Always when we come to Springfield, and actually every year we are visiting Springfield, and we feel every time that we are coming home. It's so nice to be here. So when we just arrived to Springfield, it's everything so familiar. It's so like you feel it that you're home. But when we come to Central Assembly, of course, I don't feel that I'm a stranger here. I feel, of course, that I'm home among the family of God. And of course, we spent here 2 years, and God really blessed our time here. In my life, I had a dream to be one time in a school, to go one time and then to study. But of course, I grew up as the Christian man in a Christian family during the Soviet days. And for us, it was very tough and hard to believe that one day is going to happen what happened already. But of course, as the Christian people, we were praying. I had a big dream. Maybe I will be one time in school. But of course, I graduated from high school, And the authorities of the Soviet Union says, okay, for further education, all the doors are closed for you because you are not a member of the Youth Communist Party. Only for them, door was open to the universities, but not for the Christian people. So I said, okay, I don't have any chance to go on further education. So I was ready to work. And my biggest dream was to become a truck driver. That was, I said, Lord, if I will be a driver. You know, my father was working in construction. And one day he was told that you are not worthy to build a communistic society. So they fired him from his work. But he was a very good specialist. And then after 3 months, he was called back to work. So I said, Lord, my father was a constructor and he was fired from his job because he was a believer. If I will be a truck driver, of course, that will be something very good for me. But I did not become a truck driver. Of course, when I was just a teenager, at the age of 13, I went to a prayer meeting. You know, we had an underground church at that time and our prayer meetings was in the houses of the believers. So I went with my parents that night to the prayer meeting. And when I was at the prayer meeting there, toward the end of the service, pastor says, we would like to pray for those who want to accept Christ. And we also would like to pray for those who want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized with the Holy Spirit. So we were there, a few young people. So we said, okay, I want to. And of course, that night, God baptized me with the Holy Spirit. I started to praise God. And the prophetic word came out through the prophet, and God was saying to me, I have called you to a ministry with the one you will not understand now, but the time will come when you will be doing my ministry around the world. And I said, Lord, is this to me you are speaking to? I was just a little boy, grew up in the village, and by that time I haven't been to the city. I haven't seen a city. I haven't seen a trolley bus or a train. You know, I knew how to work on the fields. I knew how to milk a cow. I knew how to milk a goat and all that, how to help my parents. But I will be doing the ministry around the world from Soviet Union, the country which so many pastors and leaders are arrested, when churches are closed and when we don't have any chance and possibility, you know, to meet together for a prayer meeting, because if 2-3 families were coming together, that's already was considered as an illegal gathering. So people had to pay fine for being in the service. So, and the Lord was speaking, I have chosen you for this kind of ministry. Of course, it was difficult to believe it. And I know when I was 16 years old, I made one mistake. On purpose, I said to my English teacher, I will not study English. And she looked at me and says, why? I said, because I will not need this language. Nobody will allow me to go out from Soviet Union. Foreign people will not come to my village. Why do I need this language? So forget about this. I will not study this language. Of course, that was my mistake. I was wrong. And only when I was 32 years old, and when I was the bishop, when I was the pastor in the church and all that, God opened the door and I realized, Lord, now I think I need to do something with my language. And of course, God helped me a little bit, and he's still helping me to improve that. But I'm very, very thankful that God granted my generation this wonderful time of opportunities and possibilities to preach the gospel openly. Our eyes were able to see through so many changes God took us. And he gave us, you know, some instructions, and he gave us something to go through the experiences. And a lot of things we studied, not because we've been somewhere before, but because we started to do something. And I remember when we started to organize first evangelistic crusades open air crusades. You know, you've been always underground. You always been have not been able to do this. And now, it still was Soviet Union, because that was 1988, and still was Communist Party, and KGB was in place and everything, but we just felt that God is opening the door, and we need to step in into that door. And, you know, I was young at that time, and when you are young, you want to do first, and then later on you think what you did. So, and I found out that that sometimes worked very good, you know, because when I'm becoming more experienced and more in advanced ages, now I'm thinking more and more and more, and sometimes I come to the closing that I don't need to do anything. But at that time, all the people were saying, you know, maybe we still should wait a little. Maybe we still should see if that is real. And I was so bold, and I said, I will not wait. I just became a young pastor in the church. I said, I will not wait. We need to jump in at least for one time. If we will get a chance just one time to preach the gospel, that will be excellent. And of course, God granted us that one time, and everybody enjoyed it, and everybody liked. You know, when we had that first big crusade and thousands of people came in and we first time opened, they gave an altar call, who wants to accept Christ, and people started to come forward. You know, the local mayor was so upset, you know, he wasn't happy, and he came after the service, and service was for 5 hours. You know, we wanted to preach all the gospel in one service. And after 5 hours, the mayor came to me and says, you did an illegal propaganda. Later on, I realized that propaganda, it's been, we did exactly propaganda, you know, only for Christ. You know, today, this word propaganda is very familiar, because Moldova, in the last 3 years, we had 5 times elections. So we were able to see how political people were doing propaganda. And I said, okay, Lord, you gave us a good teaching now, how to make propaganda, but only promote our Lord Jesus. Because he is the king and worthy to be promoted and accepted by people. And of course, I was very, very glad at that first time. The mayor was not happy, and he came and says, tomorrow you have to come to my office and we will talk about what you organized, because this was illegal. So I said, okay, probably this will be something. And we were not sure what will happen, might be arrested and might be sentenced to prison, who knew? But we went there and we gave glory to God, because I was able to say to the mayor in his office, this was the first time, but never dare to say that this is the last time. Because he said, this was the first and last time I allowed you to have this meeting. So I said, this was the first but not the last time. If God will open the door, nobody can stand against that door. And praise God, God started to open more and more the door, and we were able to walk in that open door. And today I can say we don't have even that door. It was taken away, and we are able to do everything what we had to do. And we give glory to God for all that. Of course, when I take a look back and see all this over 25 years now, since we started the first time to preach the gospel openly, and I give glory to God for everything what God accomplished in these 20 years. You know, from maybe 2,000 churches in the former Soviet Union area, now it's over 15,000 churches in that area. We did not have any schools, Bible schools. Now we thank God we have Bible schools for training people with a BA degree. We have Evangel Theological Seminary where we train people for master's degree. And we have schools of missions, and we send missionaries, and we see that God raised up young people who called into the ministry, and we praise God for everything. You know, We just 2 weeks ago completed our 1 week training seminar for all our pastors. And out of 400 people who were there, maybe 10 people was those from older generation. All the rest, all those, they were saved since freedom came. God called them into the ministry. They took over the churches. They went out and planted churches. And God is using them to multiply his work. So we give glory to God. You know, in 1992, that it's very important for me, because 1992, the miracle happened, which Brother Jerry just mentioned about, when five groups of Pentecostal, different groups, came together to work in the unity. And in those days, I was able to see that we are not too much different from one another. We have more in common than what separates us. So we said, okay, let us set up the goal, what we want to do. Do we want to save people through preaching the gospel? Yes. Let us set up this goal. And every one of us, let us contribute toward that goal. And of course, working together, we realized that we need one another. Yeah. But after 20 years, I told last year at our 20th anniversary, I said, now we cannot be one without another, because we are one. And if we were in those days 67 churches, now we are close to 360 churches. And most of those new planted churches, they don't know how it used to be, but they enjoy the unity. And in those days, I said, competition, which I saw among different groups of Pentecostals, I said, competition, it's good in business, but not in the ministry. Unity is much greater in the ministry. And for the sake of unity, we have to be ready to pay the price. And if that takes a position, I'm ready to pay. If that pays some kind of humble yourself, and God will use you, and you will not be without work if you want to be active. And we thank God that God, of course, did use us in lots of different ways, and we were able to establish work in the country of Moldova. You know, Moldova is not a big country. It's very small, 4.3 million people live in there. Territory is about 13,000 square miles. Not a big country. You know, I've been in some mega cities here in America, and I was in the morning service in one side of the city, and then I had to drive 2 hours through the city to visit another church in the afternoon. And I asked, is that the same megapolis? It's the same city? Oh, yes, it's the same. Then I said, then everybody in Moldova can claim that all of them, they are from capital city. Because within 2 hours, everybody can make it to the capital city. But of course, we give glory to God that God helped us to spread our churches throughout the country. And, you know, we live in Moldova between, I say, two extremes. One extreme is very positive, and it's a spiritual extreme where we have a chance and possibility to preach the gospel, to plant churches, organizing a lot of different activities, and we give glory to God, and I will tell you more about this. And the other side is a very negative extreme, that's economical disaster. Moldova is the poorest country in the Europe. People fight for their survival. The prices are so high in Moldova, even I compare with the prices you have here in the States. You know, I just checked the gas bill for some people in Minneapolis, and their gas price for natural gas is 2.5 times cheaper than what we pay in Moldova. Electrical bill is cheaper in the United States than what we pay in Moldova. But the salaries, the only one what is cheaper in Moldova to what you have here in America. Because our income, it's about $170 per month for working people. And as I already, Brother Jerry mentioned, Brother Peter Borsch, the bishop, retired. And now he receives his pension, $75 per month. That's his retirement. Of course, and having such high prices, people somehow have to manage together as one common, as a family. So if they need to heat the house, they heat just one room, and all families stay in one room. If they need to, they always need to preserve the food for the winter time, so that they will grow everything on their yards, so that they can live through the winter time. And of course, very difficult for old people, because when you go to the doctor, you have to pay it, and it's very expensive, and medicine is very expensive for the old people. And young people, education, it's also very expensive if you want to have a good education when you go to, when you send to the public school. It's for free. But then every time kids are coming home with some note, can you help this and can you help this and all that, and the parents need to help the class so that they can make it through the year. So it's not easy, but with God's help, we as the church try to be a part and just jump in and help those who are in needs. So our ministry is, we say, threefold ministry or threefold vision or direction. We say it's number one for us is reaching people, number two is teaching people, and number three is helping people. Evangelism, church planting, education, and of course, social activities, social work. But in all three of these directions, we have an ultimate goal: to see saved people. Yes. If we don't see saved people through any projects we use, it's a signal for us to close that project. It's not active. So if we run the only one Christian school in Moldova, we don't run that school because we want to have a school, but that school is a great tool to reach out young people with the gospel. So we started the school in 99 with three professors and 18 kids. And now we have 67 employees and teachers, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, professors in our school, and we have almost 300 kids in our school. This year, in May, first class will be graduated from high school. And a good part is in that first class, all are born again, baptized, except one young girl. And she came to the pastor and she said, you know, my father, they are high official people in military. He forbid me to be baptized. But then she said, but before the end of the school, I want to be baptized so that the whole class will be Christian believers, baptized people. So I said, this kind of school we want to have. We want to have, because I know giving the high quality education in our school, we will impact our nation. Our people have to pay who send out the kids to our school. We take not only Christian people, Christian children, but we take everyone who wants to send kids to our school. And through this, we reached a lot of families, because when all classes are started with a prayer, when teachers are teaching kids, and when we give the high quality education in everything, when it's environment so nice in the school, when the people who work in the Ministry of Education in our government, they visit our school, they don't have any words to say it. The only one thing they say, we will send somebody else to see how a real school should operate and how that should be. And I said, praise God, that's a great testimony to us. But we see how God works and changed the life of the people. And through this, we want to expand. But a couple years ago, we did it something very interesting. We decided to call everybody not only from one city, but from the nation of Moldova, who wants to send their kids to our high school. We will provide board and food for those kids, and those who will have high grades, only A's, and will stay on that during the year, they will not pay for the school. And because of this, we try to pull the best young people from the country to be in our school. And now we are in the process of building dormitories for our high school students from the country who will be staying with us, who will be, we will have them 24 hours in the dormitory, in the school, and in the church, and all that. And we believe this will be a great opportunity to impact those kids with the gospel. So everything what we do, we want to see an ultimate goal, salvation, salvation. We do a lot of social work, a lot of social projects. You know, two categories of people are most needy in Moldova. Children, because it's about 1 million people have left Moldova, went somewhere out to find a job to work so that they can support families back. Because of this, kids are without any supervision. Small kids, they stay with the grandparents, with some other people, and their parents somewhere working in different countries and sending money to help kids. But of course, those kids, we have a lot of kids who are on the streets, who are without any supervision, and somehow we wanted to work with those kids. As a result, we opened so-called the Bread of Life programs in different churches in our country, and where we invite those kids to our program. We feed them there once a day or sometimes more, and then we work with them. We try to send them back to school and help them in that work. And as the result of that ministry, of course, there was some orphans who didn't have a place where to stay. And God helped us to establish so-called family-type orphanage. And at that time, at the camp ground, we have more than 100 kids live there with their family. Husband and wife dedicated themselves to raise up those kids. And they live as a normal family in the house or at the camp. And the family can be up to 12 kids. And we have one family. The first family who started this, to work in this ministry, in their home, they raised 18 kids already. And those kids now grown up, some of them married, studying at the university. You know, we have a young boy who was a street child. And until 12th grade, he was 12 years old, and he didn't go to school. So when we got him, he didn't go at all to school, so we have somehow to work with him. But he was so smart, and he is so clever, young man, that he was able to graduate in 1 year, two classes. Now he is finishing medical university, and he said, I'm going to go to mission field, and I will be ministering to the needy people in the countries where my skills can be worked. The former street kids, educated in the Christian family, in a Christian school, sent to the university, graduating soon with a medical diploma, and ready to go to the mission and to serve other people. He said, God served me, God saved me through the ministry of the church, and I want to be the same, saving other souls. We had another, it's a young girl. She was a street kid. Also didn't go to school. She was taken to the orphanage. She was in the orphanage. And after that, she finished our school. And after school, she went to the teacher's college. She graduated from teacher's college. And now she became, last September, a professor in our school. It's something what God brings and impacts those people, those young people. And we believe these young people can be a future of our society. In some conditions, yes, they were in those very poor conditions. They were on the streets begging, you know, fighting for survival. But God found them through the people of God, through His church, who ministered to them. And now these people, they will lay down their life to minister to the other people. Last summer, we had in our kids from our orphanage who grew up, we had six marriages there. They married six weddings. How we said, this is healthy families. Former street kids abandoned by their parents. You know, orphans. Now saved, filled with the Spirit, baptized, are church members, and they formed their families. This is the miracle. As long as we see this project or project is working on bringing and saving people, we say we are on the right track, we are on the right direction, and we continue to do this work. The second category of our people most needed, this is old people, elderly people. $75, $50 per month, their pension. How can people survive with that? It is not enough to buy bread and milk. How to pay the bills and how to survive on that? And of course, there's the results. They have to live somewhere within the family. In the larger family. They cannot live by themselves just as an individuals. So it have to be living with the kids, with the grandkids, all family together somehow to survive. But at the same time, those old people who don't have anyone, they don't have, some of them don't have kids. Some of them, they were abandoned by their kids because they went somewhere to Greece, Italy, Spain, or other parts of the world. And they forgot about the parents. And those old people, they are fighting for their own survival. And as a result of helping those elderly people, we saw a need of establishing a nursing home. And we started just small one for 10 people. And then we expanded for another 6 people, 16. But last year, we were able to dedicate a new addition for our nursing home, and now we can host there and have there 50 elderly people. So we provide everything what they need, and we take care for them. And at the dedication of those of that new wing of our nursing home, we invited local authorities, we invited people from our government to come there, and we had the vice minister of the social protection from our government. And when that man came, we had a nice dedication service and we prayed. And after that, we gave a tour who wants to come through the building and take a look and see what are the conditions of people, how they live in and all that. And, you know, that vice minister went through all facility. And at the end, he asked me a question. Victor, tell me, who are these people who stay here? Are these rich people? They can pay for themselves to stay here, or this is the members of your family maybe? So I said, no. Let me tell you a few stories about these people. And I said, this man we found in an abandoned house in one of the villages in Moldova. He is blind. He doesn't have any family. He was working on his life. And now he is in abandoned conditions without any heating in the house, without anything. The windows, glasses in the windows are broken and all that. And he is depending on the mercy of the people from the village. Maybe somebody will bring bread, somebody will give the water or something else. And I said, this is the lady. We found her in another village. Somebody called and says, maybe you have a room for her also because she lost her memory. She's an old lady. She knows only what's her name. She doesn't have any documents, any IDs, who she is, where she's from. She don't remember anything. She came into the village and she found an abandoned little house. And in that little house, the street dogs used to live. She drive those dogs from that place, and now she is sleeping there on the bare ground, on the floor, without, there is no any wood floor there, just on the bare ground. And then was a silent, and the vice minister stretched his hand, he shook my hand, and he said, I'm speechless. I cannot add any word because I haven't seen anything like this in Moldova. And when he said this, I thought to myself, Lord, when you are doing something, the vice minister is speechless, the president silent, all people who consider that they are something, they are nothing compared to what God can do through his simple people. God is using simple people. God is using faithful people. God is using people who wants to obey him and to say, here I am, Lord, use me. That's what God is doing. Who we are. Think, I read once in the Corinthians chapter 1, I believe verse 27 or 26, Paul said, think of you, of who you were when you were saved or called. Who was I when God called me? Who of us have any merits to say it because of me that happened? I cannot say that. I cannot say it because it's not because of me, but because of God who is doing his work through his people. And he is using people around the world to show how excellent his works are. How God is doing excellently his work. And we give glory to God for everything. As I mentioned to you, we had the celebration of 20th anniversary of our unity. And when we wanted to do that, we wanted, of course, we organized a big conference. We invited around 1,000 people for that big conference. And I knew that there will be a lot of thanks to God and, you know, praising to God for everything what we've been able to accomplish in these 20 years. But at the same time, I said to the people, you know, I don't want only the joy to be here at the conference place. I want this joy also to be in heaven. And the reason how to transfer that joy to heaven is to organize something so that we can see saved souls. And then the angels in heaven will be rejoicing. And we as the church will be more rejoicing of what God not did it in the past, but what he is still doing today. And we set up the dates and we pick up the stadium and the town. And we started to work to bring all that things together. And we give glory to God that for 2 days we were able to preach the gospel on that stadium when the temperature was about 116 under the open sun. And there is no any roof on the stadium. And people were some with an umbrella, some they were with a piece of paper on their heads. Some were staying under the tree, some were finding another place, but we had thousands of people. In 2 days, we have over 20,000 people who were at the crusade, and more than 740 people came forward when we made an altar call to salvation. God is working, God. But, you know, when we were praying for this outreach, when we were working how we can organize all of this, of course we said people are very, very busy today, and somehow we need to find a way how we can bring them to come to the stadium. And the best way we found that just to bus people from the villages to the crusade to the stadium. And we decided to rent 300 buses. And 300 buses, that's a lot for Moldova. But the biggest challenge was how we are going to fund those buses. Because the gas in Moldova, it's about a little over $6 per gallon. So think how blessed you are in America. You know. But we need somehow to pay for those buses. And we estimated the price for one bus will be about $150. And when we multiply it by 300 buses, it's a big number. But I said, Lord, I believe that you are going to give us 300 Gideons who will stand next to a bus. And God will use them to pay $150 so that these buses will drive thousands of people to the stadium, and we will be able to give those people a ride to the stadium. And of course, we prayed, and I want to tell you that not only 300, but 342 buses were used, and we were able to pay for those buses. And that happened because of faithfulness of God's people like you. When I was last March here, I met with Don Jakes. I told about this project. Don talked to Pastor Jeff, and Central Assembly sponsored 10 buses. And I want to tell you, at least two people in each bus were saved at that crusade. And then I can say, what's the value of one soul? $150 for two saved souls. I believe we can do it more. I believe. I made last year this kind of bus. And I said, this bus will take 50 people to the stadium. This bus will bring those who will be for the first time listening the gospel. And I ask our people, technical people, to put this together. And they place it in the windows of this bus. They placed it some pictures from previous crusades. And in the last window, they put it some kind of picture where faces almost are not seen. Only the raised hands. When I look at this, I said, Lord, I don't know whose these hands are. Maybe those who sponsored, and they give glory to God, those who say, those who worked. But one thing is, I know this was the chance, and God granted us a wonderful possibility so that we can preach the gospel. And after we completed this crusade, I met with the board to do evaluation of how it was done, what needs to be improved. And before we started to talk about how it used to be, first question was, when we are going to have next time, next crusade, and where is that town, which is the stadium? I said, okay, Lord, this is the new chance, this is the new possibility. So for this year, I have a new buses, which will take people to the stadium. And if you want to send one of those buses, come to talk to me after the service, because God might use you so that we can bring more people so that they will be able to listen to the gospel. You know, before we organized this crusade on the stadium, the law demands us to invite police for the security and also to invite the ambulance to be there presently, doctors, because who said it's too hot and people might need, you have thousands of people and people might need a doctor. Of course, we went to the doctors, we talked to them, and they said, well, but you have to pay for that service. We cannot avoid that, so we had to pay, and we paid for that. And doctor, and with two nurses, they were there at the stadium. Three people came and asked some help out of 20,000 people. But when the altar call was, doctor left his ambulance and went forward to accept Christ. It was so thrilled and so touched. I said, Lord, it was worse to pay it. You know, to pay for that ambulance, to have that doctor to come to the stadium and just to listen there, to being on duty, but he was able to hear the preaching of the gospel. And God touched his heart. We had a village. We didn't have churches there. Now we do have a church there. We already bought a little house and remodeling now for the church building. Non-believers in that village, they are Orthodox believers, but they are not born again people. They rented two buses, and they brought people on Saturday, two buses, 100 people to the stadium. And then after the service, they said, can we bring tomorrow on Sunday also because there is a lot of people who wants to come, but we didn't have room in the buses to take them. We said, okay, come and tomorrow and bring another two buses. They brought on Sunday two buses. Non-believers yet were organizing buses. We paid for those buses, the rent, but they were coming just to hear the gospel. In spite of that, the local priest in their village says that that is the sect. You shouldn't go there. This is lie. This is nothing true. We are the best church. We are the true one. And all of that, but nothing could stop people. God started to draw the people by His Spirit. As a result, now we have that church. We have there a church building. And we believe that church will become a very strong church. And soon that church will be on fire to plant another church. On Christmas, I preached this just January. You know, our Christmas is in January. You know, and I preached in the church. And for me, it was something for the first time. That was the church I used to pastor, that church. I've seen a lot of people saved in that church. 10 people, 20 people. This is just a, you know, small town, countryside church. But at that Christmas service, I preached, but so many people came that we asked members, young people, to step out and move out from the building, because building was too small. We added all aisles, chairs everywhere. People could not walk. You know, we don't have strict rules from fire departments yet. So we put everywhere chairs, and we put chairs on the platform. And after I preached, I said, now I would like to invite those who want to accept Christ and allow to be Christ to be born in your heart. I want you to stand up, because I could not call them forward. I want you to stand up because we are going to pray for you. And when I saw more than 100 people stood up in the village, I repeated my altar call and I said, I want to be very clearly, only those who haven't been saved, only those who want to accept Christ, all the rest, you needed to sit down. And instead people to sit down, the other people stood up. Pastor told me what we are going to do with these people. I said, if the church building will be small one, we will use the Palace of Culture in the town. We will open another church. But we are very glad for what God is doing. This is a great time God is giving to us. And God is using people in everything. We want to proclaim God's praises. Just in my closing, I want to read one verse from the Bible. You know, we know and we are very familiar with this verse. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are, and I am very happy of who am I, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. I am who am I because of what God did in my life. And I am given these high titles that God is telling who we are in Christ. We are special people. We are a special nation. We are the royal priesthood. We are the holy nation. We are the people who belongs to God, or we are of His own possession. For what? Why? why we are given those high titles, why we are declared of who we are. And God is saying that we are in Christ this, so that we may declare. God's, another translation says, God's excellencies. God is excellent God. And in everything what he is doing, it's everything, everywhere we can see his excellent work. And when I see what God did it, I want to be like him. I want to be our school to be a standard for Moldova. I want our nursing home to be a best one in Moldova. And it's not because we want to show off, but because people, when they visit, they see God's presence and God's glory. I had a chance to build, and I got a privilege to build in Moldova, the first brand new Pentecostal church building. I was a young pastor in those days, and I decided we are going to build a brand new church building. Local authority says, no, this is impossible. Still was Soviet Union. This is impossible. I went to the higher authorities, and they said, no, nobody can decide in Moldova, because this is only Moscow can decide. So I went all the way to Moscow. I was very persistent. And of course, a year later, we've got the permission. Moscow allowed us to build a church building. At the same time, when we started to build our church building, local authorities started to build the Palace of Culture in the neighbor town. So we were building the church. They were building the Palace of Culture. They were doing something great for them, and we were doing something great for us. After we completed the building, at the same week, we had a dedication. It was an opening on Friday of Palace of Culture, and that it was an opening, grand dedication of the church building on Sunday. And the same mayor, he went to the opening of the Palace of Culture, and he came on Sunday to the dedication of the church. So when he stepped into the church building, he looked and he said, Victor, who did it all this job? And I said, we did it. Who designed this building? Who was your architect? I said, I was. Where did you study? I said, I never studied to be an architect. I just graduated 10 classes, you know, from high school. How much money did you spend to build this building? And I said, in those days, our Russian Soviet rubles, I said, 105,000 rubles. He opened wide his eyes and says, just that amount? How could you build with those money this nice building? We spent more than $500,000 for Palace of Culture, but I cannot put that building next to your building. Who is your economist? Who calculated all of this? I said, I don't know. God is the one who enables us. We cannot do it by ourselves, but God enables us, and he knows how to save, and he knows where to take it and where to put it. And I said, when Christian people work, they don't think how to steal it. They think how to bring it and give it to God. When you communists are doing something, you're doing a little bit for what you designed to do, and all the rest you take it and you steal it for yourself. We are not doing the same in the church. After 20 years, the church is still flourishing, renovated. Next to the church, it is building nursing home, bigger facility. Church was able to expand its work in the time when Moldova is the poorest country. The Palace of Culture abandoned. All the windows are taken away, all the doors and everything, just a few walls standing there, and completely destroy it. God wants to show how excellent he is, and he is doing his work through his people. Everything what we are able to do, we are able because he is one who enables us. We belong to God. You know, We will not be somebody, we are. And this makes me very excited. I am. Why? What do I need more out of who I am already? You know, I want to be used by God. And we want to give this training, and we want to teach this, and we want to show that there is something which makes the difference. We are. And this makes me very, very glad. And I am who I am. It's not because of me, but because of Him who called me. And it was a time when I was a young boy, but He said, I have chosen you to this ministry. It was even hard to think and believe, but it was a time. We couldn't see it, but God arranged everything. And He still keeps this door open. And as long as it is open, we want to use this time. And God uses us. Yes. He is using us. No, He's not using just someone who is isolated somewhere. I cannot imagine what we would do if we wouldn't be one as the Church of Christ. You know, what could we do if we wouldn't have missionaries from Assemblies of God who are working in Moldova? What we would be doing if there would not be professors, teachers, presidents who came from the beginning and helped us to establish Bible schools, to establish the seminaries? What we would be doing by ourselves? How we could be able to do all this work if there wouldn't be people who will be generously giving to this work? We are doing this because we are one in God. Somebody is sowing, somebody is harvesting, but time will be when we'll be rejoicing together. When somebody will come and will say, thank you. You paid for the bus, you work with the bus, you preach the crusade, but I'm saved and I'm the kingdom of God. Because God is using us to everything we want to give glory to God. I wish you the best, and I want to tell you, June 30 will be the time for our crusade. That Sunday, if you will pray in your morning service in Moldova, 8 hours difference will be our stadium crusade. God bless you, and thank you for being here.